This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى باب الوضوء عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال لولا أن أشق على أمتي لأمرتهم بالسواك مع كل وضوء. أخرجه مالك وأحمد والنسائي وصححه ابن خزيمة وذكره البخاري تعليقا. The chapter of wudu narrated Abu Huraira رضي الله تعالى عنه. Allah's Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, If it were not that I would burden my ummah, I would have commanded them to use the siwak along with every wudu. Reported by Malik, Ahmad, and An-Nasa'i, Ibn Khuzayma graded it sahih, and Al-Bukhari mentioned it as a mu'allaq, broken chain from the side of the collector.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walahu wa ba'd. Well, glad that we are, inshallah, continuing our explanation of Bulugh al-Maram, which is a collection of ahadith al-ahkam, the ahadith that deal with the rulings, the fiqh rulings in Islam. And this new chapter, or sub-chapter actually, under the purification, is the chapter of wudu. And this sub-chapter of al-wudu contained 23 hadith Al-Imam Ibn Hajar rahimahullah mentioned. The word al-wudu is different than the word al-wudu. So I'll say the two words again. Wudu with dhamma, wudu. Then you have wadu with fatha. So with dhamma, al-wudu, it means the actions. The washing the hands, washing the face, washing the feet, wiping over the head. That's called wudu. Al-wadu, basically, al-wadu is the water that you use to make wudu. So whenever you hear in the ahadith says al-wadu faqarraba ilayhi wadu'ahu, yani qarraba al-ma' alladhi yatawadda'u bih. So sometimes in some of the narration you will say al-wadu, which it means the water that you use for ablution, or the water that you use for wudu. Al-wudu wa dhamma is the action itself. It's like when we say suhoor and sahoor. Suhoor is basically eating in the late supper before Fajr, because you are going to fast. As-sahur with fatha is what? Is the food that you eat. That food that you ate, basically in the night, called sahur with fatha. Wal-dhamma is the action itself. Al-wudu, one of the condition of the salah. And it is actually, al-ulama rahimahullah consider it the most important condition in salah. The most important condition is salah. As the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, La yaqbalu Allahu salata man ahdatha hatta yatawadda. Allah will not accept the salah of someone who made hadath, and he broke his wudu, until that person make wudu. And also, in hadith ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu, لا يقبل الله صلاة بغير طهور ولا صدقة من غلول. That Allah will not accept a salah without basically tuhur, which it means the purification of yourself, which it means the wudu, بغير طهور ولا صدقة من غلول. And he will not accept a sadaqa, a charity that taken from a money that was stealing. And in the beginning of Sahih Muslim, Imam Muslim rahimahullah narrated the first part, لا يقبل الله صلاة بغير طهور. So that shows you that removing the hadath, and I explained that before, al-hadath, we have a major and minor. The major is what comes out of sexual impurity, okay, which is you are in a state, huwa hala, you are in a state which is caused by even having intercourse or with dream or because of menses for women, or basically nifas, post-needle bleeding. This called hadath akbar. And there is a minor one, which is one of the things that you break your wudu with, like relieving yourself or passing gas, urinating and the filth, relieving the filth, or urinating or passing gas, sleeping, vomiting. This will cause to be in a state, it's called minor hadath, minor impurity, which is you're not allowed to pray. And that's called minor hadath. So you have to remove the hadath, major or minor. The major removed by shower and the minor removed by wudu. And this is one of the most important condition in the salah. That's why al-ulama rahimahumullah, if you notice how they put their books, the order of their books, they start with al-wudu before they start with the chapter about any other condition. Yani they will mention the ahadith and the ruling of wudu before they talk about any other conditions. Can anyone here tell me other conditions for salah? What other condition for salah? Facing the qibla. What else? Intention is part of the salah. But what are the conditions? What else you need to do as a condition to salah? Timing, very good. The timing, one of the conditions. Can you pray dhuhr before the time of dhuhr enter? Can you? No. So one of the condition is basically the timing of the salah, mawaqitu salat, the timing of the salah. Also, satrul awra, covering your awra, a tip point. When we say condition, it means something you must do prior to the act of worship. When we say pillar, it is something you must do inside the worship. So one of the pillar of the salah, as-sujood, al-ruku'. It's inside the ibadah. The condition is before the ibadah, outside and before. Like covering the awra, that's before the salah. Entering the time, before the salah. هو الشرط يكون قبل العبادة والركن والواجب يكون داخل العبادة. العلماء يقولون, العلماء رحمه الله يقولون, الشرط هو الذي يلزم من عدمه العدم ولا يلزم من وجوده وجود ولا عدم. العلماء, the usuliyin, the scholar of usul fiqh said, condition, when it does not exist, it means the act of worship cannot be exist. Without wudu, you cannot pray. Without facing the qibla, without the time, you cannot pray. But when it's exist, that the condition, when it's exist, it does not necessitate the existence of the worship or not. So you make wudu, but it doesn't mean you have to pray. You may be made wudu, but you go sleep. You made wudu to wake up. So it doesn't necessitate that you have to do the ibadah that is related to it. Anyway, and al-ulama rahimahullah said that the condition of wudu is the highest condition and the most important condition among all the conditions of the salah. And the only other condition that some ulama see it as important as wudu, what Abu Walid said, which is al-waqt, dukhul al-waqt. How? They said, if you have only left in salat al-maghrib, very short time, to pray, one rak'ah, to catch maghrib, okay? But if you make wudu or you take a shower, you're going to miss maghrib, or you're going to miss fajr, or you're going to miss asr. Would you make tayammum, use the sand to catch the salah and to pray without wudu, and you just do the tayammum fast and you just pray like that? Or the condition of wudu take precedence over the timing? So the vast majority of fuqaha al-Islam said, no, you go make wudu, you go take a shower, even if you miss the time of the salah, because that condition is the most important condition. It takes precedence over the timing. Is that clear? Al-Imam Malik rahimahullah lam yara hada. Al-Imam Malik didn't say, no, actually you pray and you catch the time and that takes precedence over the wudu. ولذلك في موطأ مالك, that's why in موطأ مالك, he mentioned مواقيت الصلاة, the timing of the salah, before the ahadith of the wudu. And that's the way he made the order in موطأ مالك, different than the rest of books of hadith, different than the rest of the fuqaha, because his fiqh position is different. That's why he put the ahadith in that order, رحمه الله تعالى. Anyway, al-wudu comes from the word wada'a, al-wada'a, which it means an-nadara, which just means something polished, something shiny, you know. And al-ulama rahimahumullah ta'ala said, this meaning, being polished or being shiny, it has a tangible meaning and an intangible meaning. هذه النقاوة والوضاءة حسية ومعنوية. Intangible, because it polishes you from inside, from your sins. Wipe your sins away. Polish you. Clean you. Make you shine from inside. Because as we know, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said that every time your heart accepts the sins and practice sins, تعود القلوب على قلبين أب قلب أسود مربادا كالكوز مجخيا. It's your heart becomes so dark like a burning cup. You imagine a metal cup that's burned from inside. Then you put it upside down. مرباد شديد السواد مجخيا يعني منكس. You do it like this. So there is no light at all or any shining inside that cup from inside, because it's burned from inside and there is no light coming to it. So this what the sins does to the heart. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا تَوَضَّ الْعَبْدُ الْمُسْلِمُ وَفِي رِوَايَةَ الْمُؤْمِنُ, when the Muslim or the believer make wudu, فَغَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ, wash his face, خرج من وجهه كل خطيئة نظر إليها بعينه مع الماء أو مع آخر قطرة من الماء. That every sin that you commit with your eyes will be washed away with the last drop of water falling from your face. فإذا غسل يديه خرج مع كل خطيئة كان بطشتها يده أو يداه مع الماء أو مع آخر قطرة من الماء. That when you wash your hand, every sin that was committed by your hand will be washed away with the last drop of water that comes out of your hand. فَإِذَا غَسَلَ رِجْلَيْهِ, when you wash your feet, خَرَجَتْ كُلُّ خَطِيئَةٍ مَشَتْهَا رِجْلَاهِ, every sin that you commit by your feet, walking to any haram place or to do anything haram, that it will be washed away with the wudu. حَتَّى يَخْرُجَ نَقِيًّا مِنَ الذُّنُوبِ, رواه مسلم. Until he or she comes out of wudu so pure. من أجل هذه المعاني كان بعض السلف إذا توضأ ارتعد وخاف. Because of these meanings and these ahadith, some of the early scholars, when they used to be about to make wudu, they're so scared. They're not scared. They feel they're doing something so special, so important, so great. You know, I give, how many of you guys been to Mecca? Okay, good. Ghusl in Mecca. You remember the first time you went to Mecca. Everything is like, what did I do? Did I do this right? Did I do this correct? What is everything you're so careful, so fascinated by, because something, what a big deal is this, that's right? That's how they used to feel about the wudu. That's what meant, كانت ترتعد فرائص يصفر لونه. His color change. He's so serious when he makes wudu. Because he takes it so seriously, he understands the value of it. Why did you do that in Mecca? Because you understand the value of Umrah, the value of Hajj, the value in being in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's house on earth. But unfortunately, how many of us even think about the wudu when we make wudu? Wallahi, sometimes you start Bismillah, that's if you remember to say Bismillah, with your hand, and the last thing you see, you realize the towel. You just start the hand, then the next thing you see, I'm drying myself with a towel. I don't even know what happened in the middle. Some people say, wish to be like that. But, you know, but we go through it, subhanAllah, and sometimes, okay, a shaitan trick us and make us focus on things that it doesn't matter. So we wouldn't think about the thing that matter. Oh, you didn't wash your hand all the way in. You know what? You should do this. You should double it. You should, and he keep giving you all these ideas to make you hate the process. Because the shaitan knows how valuable the wudu is. Instead of you thinking how it will purify you, it will become like a big deal for some people to make the wudu. عن أبي عثمان قال كنت مع سلمان تحت شجرة فأخذ غصنا منها يابسا فهزه فتحاتت أوراقه. Abu Uthman said, I was with Salman al-Farisi sitting underneath a tree and he saw a dead branch. So he took it and he shook it very strongly. So all the dry leaves fall off. And then he said, you're not going to ask me why did I do that for? Then he said, ولم فعلته? So what did you do it for? قال هكذا فعله رسول الله. That's what the Prophet ﷺ demonstrated in front of us. Then he said to him, يا سلمان ألا تسألني لما أفعل هذا? Then the Nabi ﷺ said to Salman, Salman, you're not going to ask me why did I do that? Then I said, يا رسول الله, why did you do that? Then النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن المسلم إذا توضأ فأحسن الوضوء ثم صلى الصلوات الخمس قال أحسبه قال في الجماعة تحاتت خطاياه كما تحات ورق هذه الشجرة وتلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأقم الصلاة طرفي النهار وزلفا من الليل إن الحسنات يذهبن السيئات في سورة هود. That the Nabi ﷺ told Salman that if the Muslim made wudu and perfect his wudu, then pray five times. He said, I think he said in congregation, in the masjid, there his sin or her sin will fall off, will be erased, will go away, will fall from his record of his deeds, like the way these leaves fall off that branch. Then the Nabi ﷺ recited the verse, perform the salah in the beginning of the day, in the end of the day, and part of the night. Good deeds wipe bad deeds. In Surah Hud, verse 114, and this hadith reported by Imam al-Darimi, rahimahullah, fi musnadihi wa al-tayalisi ayla. Wahu hadithun qawi, sahih. And it's a sound hadith. So that's the intangible kind of purification and shining and polishing. أما الطهارة الحسية, as for the tangible one, it's clear. It's, you know, your face, washing your face every day, washing your hands every day, make you literally clean. Literally clean. يعني, I don't like the story much because it's very strong, but there is a point from it. There is one of the students once was washing his feet in a sink. You know, then, and that was in a Muslim country. So one of the professor who's not Muslim at that university was making fun, yani, trying to embarrass him. He said, what's this yani, disgusting act you do? He said, you know, we are Muslim, we make wudu. He said, you put your feet in the sink where we wash our faces. Then he said, how many times you wash your face? A day? He said, at least two times in the morning and before I go to sleep. He said, I wash my feet five times a day. If you wash your face one, two times, I wash my feet five times a day. So don't worry about it. You know, also as a tangible meaning, what the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, في الحديث المشهور حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال, إن أمتي يأتون يوم القيامة غرا محجلين. That my ummah comes in the day of judgment, غرا محجلين. What's غرا محجلين means? الغرة والتحجيل is basically a shining, when in your forehead is shining and your feet and your hands are shining. And that's originally a description comes to describe horses when they have whiteness on their face and in their feet. So from a distance you can see that white color shining because it's usually dark color skin, the either dark brown or a black or whatever color the horse has. But these four points, the face, the hands, and the feet are shining from a distance. That's how the Muslim ummah will look like. So that's basically literally al-wudu, polish you, make you shine in the day of judgment. That's why Abu Hurairah said, فَمَنِ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يُطِيلَ غُرَّتَهُ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. And we'll talk more about this hadith, inshallah ta'ala. That's what Abu Hurairah, he used to, when he used to wash his hand, he used not to stop at the elbow. He used to wash all the way to the shoulder. كَانْ يَبْلُغْ بِالْمَا إِلَى الْمِنْكَبَيْنِ. And when he washed his feet, he goes, basically, he used to, the water goes all the way to the his shin. That's what Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, but that's not how the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And Abu Hurairah used to do that because he said, I want the shining part of my body in the day of judgment to be bigger and more clearer so the Prophet can recognize me easily. And some of the Salaf used to do stuff like that, which is not sunnah to copy it, but it shows you the feeling behind it. It's for us to learn from it how they feel about it, how they take this serious. Khan ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, even he put the water inside, deep inside his eyes. Why? Because he want to wash all of these sins away. But again, this is not something for us to copy, but what you need to copy is the attitude. Is that feeling of this a purification that, you know, it's an opportunity for me to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no doubt, my brothers and sisters, that al-wudu is such a great act of worship. And unfortunately, as I said earlier, that many of us, this act of worship became something automatic. Yani something we don't think about, something we don't reflect upon. أصبحت عبادة مكرورة عبادة ليس لها طعم ليس لها لذة. And listen to some of the virtue of wudu. First of all, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran in Surah At-Tawbah verse 108, لَمَسْجِدٌ أُسِّسَ عَلَى التَّقْوَى مِنْ أَوَّلِ يَوْمٍ أَحَقُّ أَن تَقُومَ فِيهِ فيه رجال يحبون أن يتطهروا والله يحب المطهرين. In that masjid, the masjid al-taqwa that was built in Quba. In it, men that they love to purify themselves. And the meaning of purifying here, making wudu, no doubt. And Allah loves those who purify themselves. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ. So Allah loves التَّوَّابِينَ and الْمُتَطَهِرِينَ, the one who repent and the one who purify themselves. من العجيب تسأل, you might ask question, why Allah will gather the two, التَّوَّابِينَ وَالْمُتَطَهِرِينَ? The one who repents and the one who make wudu or purify themselves. So nobody can come and say, oh, al-mutatahirin here, it's an intangible thing. It means the one who purified themselves through tawbah. No, Allah already mentioned the tawbah. So the second one is the actual actions, which is the act of purification, which is that wudu and purifying themselves, because that lead to salah and to change the course of your life. Because at-tawbah lead to actions. At-tawbah lead for you to be more committed to the salah. And mentioning the wudu and the tahara, it means this is the key for the salah. That means that somebody will be committed to the salah as well. وَلَكِ يُرِيدُ لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ وَلِيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Among Allah's favor upon us, that He ordained for us this concept of wudu. وَيُنَزِّلُ عَلَيْكُمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مَاءً لِيُطَهِّرَكُمْ بِهِ. Allah want to purify you through the water that He sent from the sky. So here we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically telling us that He loves this action. So that's something that Allah loves. Also, al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that al-wudu is basically part of al-fitrah, sunan al-fitrah, the act of fitrah, which is something naturally you like, which is to purify yourself. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عشر من الفطرة. 10 things among the fitrah. قص الشارب, trimming your mustache, growing your beard, السواك, استنشاق الماء وقص الأظافر, taking the water in your nose and blowing your nose, trimming your nails, غسل البراجم, that when you wash your knuckles, got it right, I'm modest. ونتف الإبط, okay, and basically plucking and removing the hair, the underarm hair. وحلق العانة, وحلق العانة, basically removing the hair in the pubic area. قال زكريا قال مصعب نسيت العاشرة إلا أن تكون المضمضة. No, one missing. وانتقاص الماء. انتقاص الماء يعني إيش؟ الاستنجاء. يعني you clean yourself with water after urinating or after relieving the filth. And the tenth, he said, he forgot it, but it must be the rinsing the mouth with water. And these are part of the wudu. Also, النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said, الطهور شطر الإيمان. Al-wudu is half of the iman. Half or basically, half is not a very good translation. You know why? Because the word shatr, it's commonly translated على أنها نصف. ولكن الشطر ليس في لغة العرب يلزم أن يكون نصف الشيء. Even the Arab, when they say نصف, it means half, they don't mean it literally half. It's a kind of strange, unique language, strange way of expressing things. But شطر, it means a big portion of al-Iman, because it's the key for the salah. So it basically represents a big portion of the iman, or according to some ulama, they will say literally it is half of the iman, because it is based on purification, based on you basically as-salat is the most important pillar in Islam, and no salah without wudu. Also, al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, and listen to this hadith reported by Bukhari Muslim min hadith al-Bara ibn Azib. He said, إِذَا أَتَيْتَ مَضْجَعَكَ. He telling Al-Bara, if you come to sleep, تَوَضَّ وُضُوءَكَ لِلصَّلَاةِ, make wudu as if you do wudu for salah, then sleep in your right side, then said, اللهم أسلمت وجهي إليك وفوضت أمري إليك وألجأت ظهري إليك رغبة ورهبة إليك لا ملجأ ولا منجا منك إلا إليك. اللهم آمنت بكتابك الذي أنزلت وبنبيك الذي أرسلت. This dua that the Prophet taught him, you can look it online. He said, after that, فَإِن مِتَّ, if you die, مِن لَيْلَتِكْ فَأَنْتَ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ وَجَعَلْهُنَّ آخِرَ مَا تَتَكَلَّمْ بِهِ. If you die that night, you will die upon fitrah. What's al-fitrah? Fitrah al-Islam, the pure Islam. Make it the last thing that you say before you go to sleep. He said, I repeated it for the Prophet ﷺ. And when I switch, and I said, وَرَسُولُكَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلْتْ قَالَ لَا وَنَبِيُّكَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلْتْ. When I told him, and your messenger that you sent, he said, no, your prophet that you have sent. He corrected me. Number five. الوضوء سبب لقبول الدعاء. الوضوء, one of the reasons for your dua to be accepted. And this hadith في سنن النسائي من حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من حديث معاذ عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ما من مسلم يبيت على ذكر طاهر فيتعار من الليل فيسأل الله خيرا من الدنيا والآخرة إلا أعطاه إياه. The Prophet ﷺ said, anyone go to bed while he or she making wudu, then they walk up in the middle of the night, يتعاري أن يستيقظ, then they ask Allah from the goodness of this life and the next, unless Allah will give it to them. Yani what that means, they wake up, they don't go back to sleep or to force them back to sleep. No, they take this opportunity to make dua. Even if they go later on to sleep, but they basically try to make dua and to make dhikr in the middle of the night. And by the way, this applies for sisters who have their menses. They still can make wudu before they go to sleep. Because that's not salah. When she has her menses, the only thing not allowed to pray. But she can do that and go to bed after making wudu and make her adhkar and dua like any regular days. Also, النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم told us, as I mentioned earlier, that al-wudu, one of the reasons for the sins to be forgiven. Okay? To the extent, in Sahih Muslim, من حديث عثمان بن عفان, قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, قال من توضأ فأحسن الوضوء خرجت خطاياه من تحت جسده حتى تخرج من تحت أظفاره. In لفظ Muslim, in one of the narration Muslim, even the sin that underneath his nails will come out. يعني it means anything that you did with any part of your body, it will be washed away. Okay? Also, النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, أبو هريرة said, سمعت خليلي, I heard my best friend, my most beloved friend to me, said, تبلغ الحلية من المؤمن ما يبلغ وضوءه. That your purification, your jewelry in Jannah, the thing that Allah will beautify with in Jannah, will cover the area that the wudu reach. يعني from here all the way to your elbow, from your feet. Allah will give you, dress you and give you thing to beautify you in the Day of Judgment in the same amount of body part that is basically washed during wudu. Also, النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was asked once, قالوا يا رسول الله كيف تعرف من لم يأتي من أمتك يا رسول الله. And this hadith Abu Huraira في Muslim, how would you recognize the Muslims who came after your time or who would come after your time? Then النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said, أرأيت لو أن رجلا له خيل غر محجلة بين ظهري خيل دهم بهم ألا يعرف خيله؟ قالوا بلى. قال فإنهم يأتون يوم القيامة غرا محجلين. He said, if someone has horses and these horses have whiteness in their faces and in their feet, and they are among a lot of horses who don't have that, like pitch black, would he easily recognize his horses? They said, yeah, sure. He said, that's how easily I would recognize my ummah comparing to others, by these signs. That's why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that, A'udhu billah, those who will enter hellfire, they will be burned except mawadi' as-sujood, the places of their sujood, the face. And so these things are honored and something that it will remain distinguished by the believers. Also, in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we heard, he said, shatrul iman, a big portion or half of the iman. Also, one of the benefits of wudu, annahu yuzilu athar al-ayn wal-hasad, that it will remove the impact or the effect of evil eye and envy. As Ibn Majah rahimahullah reported in his Sunan, as well as Imam Ahmad fil Musnad, that Abu Umamah ibn Sahl ibn Hanif marra Amir ibn Rabi'ah bi Sahl ibn Hanif. Amir ibn Rabi'ah was walking by Sahl ibn Hanif, and Sahl ibn Hanif taking a shower. Okay? Sahl ibn Hanif only covering the lower part of his body, but the upper part showing. Then he, when he saw him, he قال لم أرك اليوم ولا جلد مخبأ. What that means? He said, I haven't seen soft, shiny, clear, fair color skin like this, not even on a young girl who never came out to work in the sun. And even the girl who never been outside her house to work in the sun, so her skin became rough, because even the girl who all her life spoiled in the house and this, her back will not be like that. What a the way he described him is like so strong. When he said that, قَالَ فَمَا لَبِثَ أَنْ لَبِطْ بِهِ. When he said that, the guy fall immediately down on the floor, unconscious and shaking, like a seizure or something. فَقَالَ لَهُ أَدْرِكْ سَهْلًا صَرِيعًا. Look, he's like shaking so hard, like he got a seizure. Then they said, who do you think caused that? They said, Amir ibn Rabi'ah. I just want it for the record. Amir ibn Rabi'ah min al-Badriyin, among those who witnessed the battle of Badr, يعني among one of the best companions, to show you that evil eye can come from people who are so good, and so good Muslims even, and people who have no evilness on them, in their heart necessarily. The evilness comes from hasad, envy, comes from an evil heart. But evil eye has nothing to do with evil heart. Even good people can give you an evil eye. قَالَ عَلَى مَا يَقْتُلُ أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ. Then the Nabi ﷺ said, why would you kill your brother? إِذَا رَأَ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ أَخِيهِ مَا يُعْجِبُهُ فَلْيَدْعُ لَهُ بِالْبَرَكَةِ. When you see something you like in your brother, ask Allah to bless him. Then he asked for water. And he said, Amir, make wudu. So Amir washed his face, his hands, his feet. And he said, wash your knees. وَمِدْخَلَةِ إِزَارِكْ. And basically, wash the inner part of your thigh. And every time he washed this, whatever water go over the skin will be collected in a container underneath of him. Okay? Then he said he took that water that he basically that comes out of the result of washing the hand and make wudu and washing the knees and washing the inner part of his thigh. He took that water. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, go and pour it on Sahl ibn Sa'd, the one who is in siege. And في رواية قال ولا تجعله على وجهه, يعني pour the water in his head and back, not on over his face. So when they did that, فا فراح سهل مع الناس ليس به بأس. في رواية يعني قام كأنه نشط من عقال. He like you tied a camel and you untied him and he jumped up. When the moment they did this, he just everything went away and he became completely perfect and he went with the people. قالت عائشة كان يؤمر العائن الذي أصاب غيره بالعين يتوضأ ثم يغتسل منه المعين. When someone give an evil eye to someone, we ask them to make wudu and the rest of his wudu or the water that comes out of his wudu, we used to take it and to wash the person who been affected by that evil eye. So also one of the benefits of wudu, what Imam Muslim rahimahullah said that the Prophet ﷺ said to the companions once, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى مَا يَمْحُ اللَّهُ بِهِ الْخَطَايَا وَيَرْفَعُ بِهِ الدَّرَجَاتِ. Would you like me to tell you something that it will wipe your sins away and elevate and raise your level in Jannah? They said, بَلَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. Absolutely, you would love to know that. قَالَ إِسْبَاغُ الْوُضُوءِ عَلَى الْمَكَارِحِ. Ya salam. وكثرة الخطى إلى المساجد وانتظار الصلاة بعد الصلاة فذلكم الرباط. He said, when you perfect your wudu, when perfecting the wudu is something not very easy, not something very pleasant things to do. Cold water and it's a cold weather. I remember once I was in Alaska and we were hiking and we went all the way to the top of the mountain, like very high up there. And we saw where the river starts actually, comes from underneath the glacier. Reach a point you can't go up anymore. So the water that comes from underneath this glacier is like super clean, super sweet, absolutely cold. So he said, let's make wudu. Me and two brothers. Oh my God. It's really, I remember this hadith. This is when making to perfect, you put it in your hand, you're just freezing. For you to make the wudu complete, that's hard. You know, I remember it was much warmer to make wudu with the snow than the water. So I did wudu with the snow because I want to tell them about the ruling of halal to make wudu with the snow. That's the reason. Okay? Just it's okay to make wudu with the snow too. It's because it's water, basically. Anyway, and also when it is so hot, that's also, I know it very well in Saudi Arabia. And recently when I was in Kuwait, oh my God, the water comes boiling. Yani, literally, I think you don't need a coffee machine there. You just open the sink and you put the water with the coffee and then you have your coffee ready. It's burning. So for you to make wudu with such hard condition, it is not easy. Then he said, وَكَثْرَةُ الْخُطَى إِلَى الْمَسَاجِ, that you often walk to the masjid. And وَانْتِظَارُ الصَّلَاةِ, you wait for the salah, after the salah, like what we're doing here today. Innabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, and this hadith in Bukhari Muslim, salatu ahadikum fi jama'ah, praying in congregation, tazidu ala salatihi fi suqihi wa baytihi bid'a wa 20 daraja. 20 plus times more to pray in the masjid than to pray in your mall, in your business, or in your home. And that's why it is much, much higher reward, the Prophet explaining. قَالَ وَذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُ إِذَا تَوَضَّأَ فَأَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءُ. When you perfect your wudu. And I want you to pay attention to this word, أَحْسَنَ الْوُضُوءُ, perfect your wudu. Because we're going to learn, أَنَّ صِفَةَ وُضُوءِ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ تَنْقَسِمُ إِلَى قِسْمَيْنِ, that the way the Prophet used to make his wudu is two types. Wudu yusammunahu wudu'un duna wudu' aw wudu'un khafif fakhaffafa fi wudu'ihi aw tawadda'a wudu'an khafifa. Fi kathir min al-riwayat, تينا شيء من هذا. That النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم sometimes his wudu is light. Light, it means to the minimum. And sometimes the wudu comes isbal. He made the wudu perfect, complete. And the best example of this, when he was in Hajj, when he was in Arafah, he urinated by the end of the day. Then he asked for them to bring wudu. قال فتوضأ وضوءا خفيفا فقيل له الصلاة قال الصلاة أمامك. Pray? No, we pray later. So when he reached Al-Muzdalifah, in the same hadith, he said, قال فلما نزل المزدلفة توضأ فأسبغ الوضوء في الأول خفف الوضوء. The second one, he perfect the wudu. So this hadith talk about somebody perfect wudu and come to the masjid only for salah. Nothing bring him to the masjid except the salah. For each and every step that he or she takes, Allah raise one level of them in Jannah, take one sin away, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them one reward, and the angel making dua for them in their place of prayer until they finish. Go ahead, Shahzad.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadar Rasulullah. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا
جزاك الله خير. عقبة بن عامر يقول كانت علينا رعاية الإبل. I used to take care of the herd or the camels. فجاءت نوبتي فروحتها بعشي فأدركت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. هذا حديث في صحيح مسلم له قصة لطيفة يعني أحكي لكم قصتها. The hadith is famous but a lot of people don't know the story behind it. So Uqba bin Amr said, I took care of the camels during the day. By the night falls, I brought the camels back home and I went to the masjid. قال فأدركت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يحدث الناس. I arrived while the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم addressing and teaching in the masjid. قال فأدركت من كلامه. What I catch from his teaching, ما من مسلم يتوضأ فيحسن الوضوء أو فيحسن وضوءه ثم يقوم فيصلي ركعتين مقبلا بهما بوجهه على الله إلا وجبت له الجنة أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. That there is no Muslim will perfect his or her wudu, then stand up and pray two rak'ahs, and he will she focus, direct their heart completely towards Allah. So that's what they focus on, that's what they're thinking about when they are praying. Unless Al-Jannah is granted for them, or they will be among the people of Jannah. فقلت ما أجود هذا. I'm so lucky I heard that. That's so beautiful. فإذا قائل بين يدي يقول لي التي قبل أجود. He said, while I'm saying, wow, this is so beautiful. Somebody behind me told me, hey, the one he said before you come was even better than this. قال فنظرت فإذا هو عمر. I looked and I saw Umar ibn al-Khattab. And he said, I saw you came late and you missed the first one. And he said, what was the first one that I missed? He said that the Prophet ﷺ said, ما من مسلم أو ما منكم من أحد, any one of you, يتوضأ فيبلغ أو يسبغ الوضوء, يعني perfect his wudu. Don't cut it short, cut corners. ثم يقول, then he or she will say, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله إلا فتحت له أبواب الجنة الثمانية يدخل من أيها شاء الله. See, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبد ورسوله. The eight gates of paradise will be open for you in the day of judgment to enter from any gates that you want. That's why Umar said, the first one that you miss is even better than this. It's not only entering Jannah, no, you enter Jannah from anywhere you want. You want more evidence about the virtue of wudu, or that's enough? One more? طيب. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا بلال حدثني بأرجى عمل عملته في الإسلام فإني سمعت دفن عليك بين يدي في الجنة. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم asked بلال, tell me, Ya Bilal, something that you have done in Islam that you have so much hope in it that it will take you to Jannah. It will be the reason for you to enter Jannah. Because when I was in Jannah, in Al-Isra al-Mi'raj, I heard footsteps and I was told that these are your footsteps. And you are among the people of Jannah. What will be that one thing that you've been doing in Islam that you're expecting because of it Allah will give you and grant you Jannah? قال ما عملت عملا أرجى عندي. The best thing that I ever think I did in my life. أني لم أتطهر طهورا. I never made wudu. في ساعة من ليل ولا نهار, any time during the day or the night, إلا صليت بذلك الطهور ما كتب لي أن أصلي. Unless I, after I finish wudu, I pray as much as I can, as many ركع as I can. Reported by Bukhari Muslim. هذا الحديث فيه معاني جميلة. This hadith has a lot of meanings, but one of the things that you should reflect upon, that how النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم cares so much about the good deeds. Can you imagine how many good deeds the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows and aware of? And he knows about them all. But he still would like to learn from Abu Huraira something that it might benefit. And let me end with this. I wasn't planning for this. Actually, I was planning to put two or three hadith. But I said to myself, let me search. And I spend quite time looking and remembering all the hadith that I know about wudu. And I was able to come up with these 14 different rewards came in the sunnah. And this number 14, which is came, by the way, the previous hadith, Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, hadith Bilal, which is narrated by Abu Hurairah, is in Sahih Bukhari Muslim. This one in Sahih Ibn Hibban, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam قال سددوا وقاربوا واعلموا أن خير أعمالكم الصلاة ولا يحافظ على الوضوء إلا مؤمن. That the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do as much as you can, as much as you're able to, and you should do good deeds as much as you can and you're able to, and you shall know that the best of all your deeds is as-salah. That's the best thing you can do. And only believers keep their wudu. Yani keep their wudu, not to break their wudu. No, yani keep their wudu. Yani always make wudu whenever they break their wudu. Yani they are always ready to pray. So when they break their wudu, they will go and not they hold themselves. No, it means like every time they break their wudu, they go and they make wudu, even if it's not a time of salah. And also this hadith reported عن ثوبان رضي الله عنه في مصنف ابن أبي شيبة. Question. Is al-wudu is an act of worship only related to the Ummah of Muhammad sallam, or this concept was exist before the Ummah of Muhammad sallam? Can anybody tell me? What do you guys think, brothers and sisters? Before. That's absolutely true. It is something because as-salah was known before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time, before Ummat al-Islam. And we have very clear evidence. For instance, fi as-sahih, the story of Juraij al-Abid. Juraij was one of the scholars of Bani Israel, or avid worshipper among the children of Israel. And he was accused falsely with adultery with a prostitute who she was pregnant. She said, he is the father of the boy. Anyway, they came, they drag him out of his temple, they destroy the temple, and they accuse him. Then in the hadith, it says, قَالَ فَتَوَضَّأَ فَصَلَّ He made wudu and he prayed. Then he approached the baby and he said, who is your father? He said, my father is the farmer so-and-so. The baby spoke. وَأَيْضًا فِي صَيْحِ الْبُخَارِ Another story may be more famous than this one, which is the story of Ibrahim عليه السلام's wife, Sarah. When she entered Egypt, Jabbaru Misr, the dictator, the pharaoh of Egypt, when he heard about her beauty and he said, I want her for myself. Then أقبلت صحيح البخاري تتوضأ وتصلي She made wudu and she prayed. And she said, Oh Allah, if you know that I believe in you, I believe in your messenger. وأحصنت فرجي إلا على زوجي And I protect my private part from anyone except my husband. فلا تسلط علي الكافر Don't let this kafir touch me. And when he saw her, the king, and he liked her, he approached her, and his hand froze. He couldn't move his hand to touch her. Even though he stretched it, but it was froze. Paralyzed. Then he said, what did you do to me? What did you do to me? Yabusat yadu. Came like so, like a piece of rock. He prayed for me, and we know the story. The point is, تتوضأ وتصلي. She made wudu and she prayed. طيب. We might ask a question. Sheikh, now I'm confused. Iyad, would be a point for someone to say, if you saying to us that nations before us made wudu, how come in Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, I will recognize my ummah through al-ghurrah wa-tahjeel? I recognize them by the result of the wudu in their forehead and their hands and their feet will be shining. Because this is something only for his ummah that it will distinguish them from the rest. So how can we reconciliate? Yes, Sheikh Sama. Very good. And that's actually the answer that al-ulama said. They said that the wudu in the nations before us, the wudu of the nations before us, is not in the same way we make our wudu. So not necessarily to include the face and the hands and the feet. It could be completely in a different format. But that reward of the face and the hand and the feet and the shining of it is something very special for this ummah. And that's how Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar rahimahullah answered this. When al-wudu was obligated, but as-salah, when was obligated? طيب, the verses of al-wudu in Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah Al-Ma'idah, we know it's a madani surah. The wudu, Surah Al-Ma'idah, all of it came complete at one time. Was not divided over, just the whole surah came at once. So that means al-wudu, which was described in Surah Al-Ma'idah, was ordained, and this legislation started in Medina. But what about Mecca? What they used to do in Mecca? The answer for this, that al-ulama rahimahumullah qalu la, anna as-salah furidat qabla al-hijrah. Even though in the incident of al-Isra', when the Nabi was told about the salah, he never was told about wudu in the Isra' wal-Mi'raj. Okay? What we couldn't find any specific narration, okay, that the Nabi made wudu in Mecca. We don't have any narration explicitly saying that. Okay? But also we don't have any narration saying other way around. But what we have, some narrations, that this was a common knowledge. Like the story of Umar ibn al-Khattab, when he was basically want to hold the mushaf, she said, no, until you make wudu. You purify yourself. Even هذه القصة فيها خلاف وكثير من العلماء يضعفونها. Some ulama said it's a weak story, but the narration is well known. لكن العلماء رحمهم الله تعالى said that by consensus, that النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم used to make wudu in Mecca before Medina. بإجماع العلماء. And I don't know anyone disagree with them, even the Zahiri. Nobody ever said that Nabi ever prayed a salah without wudu, without tahara. And because al-wudu is a condition of salah. Like, we might not have a clear evidence about satr al-awra, covering the awra for prayer during Mecca time. We might not have evidence explicitly say that the Prophet remove the najasa, the filth, or any impurity from his body before he made wudu salah. We don't have any explicit, but that's obvious. That's so known. That's why it was never reported. And the same thing we say about this condition, which is al-wudu. Does that make sense? Okay. Now we can start with the hadith. This hadith in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, I have only 5 minutes left, so we're going to stop on time, inshallah. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوْلَا أَنْ أَشُقَّ عَلَىٰ أُمَّتِي لَأَمَرْتُهُمْ بِالسِّوَاكِ مَعَ كُلِّ وُضُوءٍ. Had I not feared burdening my ummah followers, I would have commanded them to use siwak before every wudu, or with every wudu. Did you have it in the translation, wudu or salah? Wudu. Okay. This hadith is an authentic hadith, as Ibn Hajar rahimahullah said, authenticated by great scholars like Ibn Khuzaymah rahimahullah. The narration in al-Bukhari wa Muslim, I would have ordered them to make it with every salah. Question. Is there a contradiction between wudu and salah? No. قال العلماء مع كل وضوء، لأن مع كل وضوء يأتي الصلاة، فمع كل وضوء مع كل صلاة هو نفس الحديث مخرج واحد. العلماء said it doesn't make a difference because with every wudu with the salah it's the same thing because when you make wudu you follow it with a salah.
طيب.
He said والبخاري رحمه الله رواه معلقا. He said that وصاحب ابن خزيمة ذكره البخاري تعليقا. البخاري mentioned معلق. إيش معنى معلق؟ معلق يعني hanging. Okay. So the scholar of the hadith or the narrator of the hadith will come to the chain of narrators. Okay. And he will put the whole hadith and attach the whole hadith to someone. Okay? So he will, al-Bukhari rahimahullah, have he ever met Umar ibn al-Khattab? No. So al-Bukhari will hang the whole hadith in Umar and he will remove all the narrator in between. So al-Bukhari will say, Umar said. That's called mu'allaq. Okay, and even more farther than that, al-Bukhari would say, the Prophet said, يُعَلِّقُ الْحَدِيثُ عَنِ النَّبِيِّ مُبَاشَرًا. No narrators in the middle. That's called hadith mu'allaq. When he doesn't mention the whole entire isnad, chain of narrator, or he doesn't mention all of them. طيب. And al-Bukhari rahimahullah, in his sahih, there is معلقات. This a hadith like this. Call it معلق. يعني hanging or he basically well drop people from the isnad. And it comes in two ways. معلقات بصيغة الجزم ومعلقات بصيغة التضعيف أو التمريض. Sometimes he narrate the hadith, he drop the narrators. But he will make it in a very affirming manner. He said, the Prophet said. Very affirming. Umar said. عن بهز بن حكيم عن أبيه عن جده. He never met Bahz, but he narrated from that person. But sometimes he will narrate this mu'allaqat in a way, in a format, which is not very affirmative. We call this tamreed as if it is not that authentic. So he would say, for example, it's been narrated that Umar said. See the difference? يقول يروى عن عمر ويروى عن روي عنه. يسمونه صيغة تمريض. Anytime you see a scholar of hadith said يروى وروي, any scholar of hadith ever used this term, it's been narrated, they said, it's been said. It means that this scholar of hadith doesn't believe that this narration is authentic. He believes there is weakness in it, except one imam made an exception to him. One imam only in the ulama al-hadith, he doesn't follow this rules, he doesn't follow this category. His name is al-imam ibn al-Athir, sahib kitab jami' al-usul. He said about hadith reported by Bukhari and Muslim, يروى يضع يرويه بصيغة التمريض لأنه لا يرى هذه الصيغة يرى أنها صيغة التوثيق. Anyway, so for those who benefit from that, so Imam al-Bukhari, any معلق hadith, he make it very affirmative, it means he believes in the authenticity in it. And anyone he give it with the way, leeway or something not very affirmative, it means he feels it's not that if authentic, doesn't meet his condition, that's why he will say it this way. And Al-Imam Ibn Hajar rahimahullah, one of his earliest book that he wrote when he was very young in his 20s, a book, it's called Taghliq al-Ta'liq. He follow all these ahadith and proven that every single hadith mu'allaq in Al-Bukhari was authentic. So why did he say this about this particular one, mu'allaq? Because this particular hadith, hadith lawla shaqqa an ummati, in al-Bukhari didn't make it explicit affirmation, or he didn't mention the isnad because a man in it, his name Muhammad ibn Amr, and his hifz, his memorization is not that strong. And because of other narration back him up, the hadith is authentic, but it doesn't meet the condition of al-Bukhari rahimahullah, because he doesn't put in his book in hadith al-Bukhari, Sahih al-Bukhari, any hadith that is hasan. He only put what is authentic, sahih li dhati, hatta sahih li ghayrihi yajtanibuhu rahimahullah. Anyway, this is in regard to the asanid, or the talk about the nasib of the hadith. Inshallah, when we meet next week, we'll talk about the ruling of this hadith. And it is worth mentioning to you that some of the ulama, rahimahumullah ta'ala, said that this hadith, some of the ulama said, in it 300 fa'idah, 300 benefits. We're not going to go over 300 benefits, but we're going to mention maybe 6 or 5 of them. Very important to learn from, or 10 of them maybe, as much as we can think of that day, inshallah ta'ala, or we can prepare for you. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Nabi Muhammad. We'll pray, inshallah, Aisha. Jazakum Allah khair.